Heavenly Father, we just come before you with thanksgiving and praise. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that just works in us to make us into that image of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that as we look in your word, that it would have its full effect upon us, that you would have your way with us, that our conscience would not be seared, Lord, but we would just bow to the convictions that, Lord, we are sinners, and you are holy, and your Holy Spirit wants to make us holy. So, Lord, let us yield ourselves to you and to the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. Lord, we are so entangled sometimes in this world that we don't even know which way is up. We see the wickedness that prevails in this world, and, Lord, we just shake our head and we're just downtrodden. We just don't even know where to start. But, Lord, as we come into your sanctuary, we know who you are, and we see the end of the wicked. Lord, and our heart just shakes for them. It burns for them. Lord, we would not want to see any perish. But, Lord, help us to give out your word. Help us to be ambassadors for you, witnesses for you, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to love them as you love them. Lord, in this time, teach us now. Show us out of your word, Lord, the things that we need to build us up in the most holy faith. And it's in your honor and your glory that we do these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. Last week we were looking at angels. We were talking about how the angels were not called to the things of this earth, and whoever the writer of Hebrews is, and I think it's Paul, but you know, nevertheless, I'm not going to belabor that. As we see in chapter 2, and I know you've all done your homework, you've all read ahead, you can see that the person that wrote this has a great command of the Old Testament, and he knows exactly, you know, what scriptures to pull out for this. Now, I attribute this, obviously, to the Holy Spirit. Now, we are all capable of the same things. As we read the Word, we tuck it away in our hearts and in our minds. And in times of when we need to bring it out to, when we need to share it with somebody, man, how many times do those scriptures just pop out and you just say them without even thinking? And, wow, here it is. And I wasn't even thinking of that scripture, but man, boom, 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 there it is. Because I was talking to this person, they were hurting and they needed to hear this. So, it says in verse 14 of chapter 1, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So we have these spirit beings, these angels that minister to us. Now, sometimes we see them, sometimes we do not. No, the scripture tells us that we may have entertained angels unaware. You know, the people that come in contact with us. You know, in the Old Testament, we see that angels took on the form of men, and then they looked human, if you will. There was no distinguishing marks. When Joshua, saw the angel of the Lord with the sword drawn, he thought he was a man. He thought he didn't know, are you for us or are you for our enemies? So they took on the form of men when the angels came to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, they looked like men. So, you know, Lot entertained angels unaware. Until he talked to them and he realized what the purpose of them was. As he came and says, hey, we're going to destroy. You need to get out. But no, wait, no. And Lot went to bat for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now you think about that for a second. You think, you know, what kind of a heart is that? You know, Lot wasn't the best of believers. And I think we can identify with Lot. I think, you know, Lot kind of symbolizes us in a way. As we look at our country around us, you know, there's many things that we have to deal with. People ask us, well, where do you stand on this issue? Or where do you stand on that issue? And same-sex marriages and this and that and the other thing. And sometimes our head just spins, man. Where are we supposed to stand on those things? We know that we're not supposed to hate. The Lord tells us we're supposed to love our enemies. And because the Lord loves our enemies. The Lord loves them. He doesn't want any to perish. And like Lot, and they were there to rape those angels. And he says, no, take my virgin daughters rather than touch these men. you know, I mean, that's not exactly walking on the, you know, straight and narrow when you're offering up your virgin daughters to people in the city that want to rape these guys that come into your house, but that's another point altogether. The idea is that, hey, look, guys, don't do these wicked things. He was trying to go to bat. He was trying to save their lives. They were come to destroy the city, and there he was with that message, don't do so wickedly. And what was their response? The same response that we get today. Oh, who are you to judge us? Who set you up as a judge over us? Look, you came in here as a stranger, and we are strangers and pilgrims in this land. Got to remember that. We are strangers and pilgrims. This place is not our home. But we know that there is destruction coming. The Holy Spirit tells us that destruction is coming upon the people that turn away from the things of the Lord, that want to embrace wickedness. I think the Psalm 73 was a perfect example of the world we live in today. We look around and, man, everybody is prospering. Everybody is doing these things. And what kind of a message do we have to the people of the world today to have them, you know, think about us? Well, the church world then starts to go into program mode. Well, let's have a fun night where we can have all of these kids come in and we'll do all of these fun games and things and we'll slip in the gospel. And they'll never know what hit them. No. What's the essence of salvation? Being grieved with your sin. We need to, you know, really just examine how we do business in the world. What is it, the message that we're giving out? Well, if you accept Jesus Christ, you'll live a happy and wonderful life. Can anybody testify to that? No, because it doesn't happen. The more we get closer to the Lord, the more this world becomes our enemy. We got to remember that. To be friends with the world is to be an enemy of God. The Scripture plainly tells us this. Our hope and our looking forward to is in the world to come. So, in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And that's the essence. Remember that? Okay? Giving earnest heed. James tells us, hey, you be in hearers of the word, but you need to be doers of the word. Otherwise, you're going to be deceiving yourselves. Yes, it's good to hear the word of God, but if you just let those things slip, you say, well, yeah, I've heard that. That was nice. And you walk out and nothing has changed. There's no transformation that takes place. The word of God went forth, but then, you know, I can put that to the side. We need to give earnest heed to what we've heard. If somebody tells you, don't drink that Kool-Aid, there's poison in it, and you drink it anyway, well, it's on your head because you were warned that there was poison in it. Just like the food. Oh, you know what? That meat wasn't cooked very well. Don't eat that meat. And you eat it and you get botulism or whatever. You were warned. You were warned not to. So as the Word of God instructs us on how we are to conduct ourselves, if we look at the, well, you know, that's not really for me. I'm going to put that off to the side. We're not giving earnest heed because the Lord, in our stage of walking, leads us to those places where we need to work on these things. He shows us things that we're, hey, I need work in this area. Envy, lust, you know, maybe I have this greed that I have to get with. I need. And oh, the word says that I shouldn't be this way. So we confess our sin. Lord, this is sin. I'm confessing it to you. I have envy in my heart because so-and-so has this or that and the other thing. And man, I really would love to have that. And so you say, well, that's envy. And so we need to confess it as sin. But as we are confessing that, what we have to do as well is pray the Holy Spirit would take those things away from us. I know that this is sin and this is not pleasing to you. And my purpose is to please the Lord. He made us for his pleasure, Revelation 4:11. We have been made for his pleasure. And if we're doing those things that are contrary to his word, are we pleasing the Lord? I say no, we're not. If the word says, thou shalt not steal, and we're stealing, how is this pleasing to the Lord? Oh, well, you might say, well, we're under grace. And grace covers a multitude of sin, right? No, that's ridiculous. If you're hearing that you should not steal and you're stealing anyway, that means you're not giving earnest heed to the word. You're hearing the word, but you're not doing the word. Now, It's not a works issue that we're talking about here. It's a heart issue. See, everything starts in the heart. As you meditate on the Word of God, thou shalt not steal, it gets into your heart, and you say, I don't want to steal. Case in point. This week, there were at my workplace, there was a big stack of iPhones and iPads just sitting there. They were all, you know, just, and you know, I'm looking at those things and I'm thinking, you know, I mean, somebody could just come by and take them. And a thought came into my mind. Why don't you just take one? Nobody will miss it. And I was just like, really? Where did that come from? You know, and it just like that. And I'm thinking, wow. You know, the enemy works overtime. And what came to my mind? Thou shalt not steal. And I said, okay, well, good enough for me. Yeah, it was an iPad mini. Who wants that anyway? No. But the point was, is it came into my mind. And I'm thinking, why would that come into my mind? But on the heels of that, on the very heels of that thought came the Word of God. Thou shalt not steal. So what are you going to do? I'm going to give earnest heed to the Word. That's giving earnest heed. You see, your actions start to emulate what the Word says to do. It's not a works thing. It's a spirit thing. The Spirit spoke to me by the Word and gave me the wherewithal not to do that. I know thou, I have been set free from sin. That's what being set free from sin is. Does it mean that you're not going to have any thought to sin? Absolutely not. You're going to have that thought. But the Word is going to come in and counter it immediately. And then you have a choice. No, I'm not going to do that. Did I sin? No, I didn't, because I did not act on the thought that I had. The thought was there. Having the thought is not sin. Having the thought is not sin. It's acting on that thought. It's when it gets into the heart and it becomes, I got to have it. You see how it generates. It germinates in your mind, but the Word of God comes in there and boom, it's gone. And now, I had no, you know, but that's how it worked. And I thought, man, what a perfect application that is for the Word of God, and it pertains to every aspect of your life, whether it be envy, whether it be lust, whether it be greed, no matter what commandment it is, there is a commandment to counter it. Taking the day off on Sunday. Well, I'll do this on Sunday because, well, Sunday is the Sabbath day. It's a day of rest. I've got nothing else to do. I might as well go ahead and put a new roof on the house. You see? But the Lord says, take the day off. Honor that day. You honor me by obeying me. You see, Romans chapter 1, verse 5 tells us, I think it's 5, it says that we have been given the Spirit of God for obedience to the Word of God. Now check me on that, make sure that I got the right ones, 4 or 5. But it's obedience that is the byproduct of belief. As we read the Word, we start to obey what the Word is. You see, there are two aspects of Jesus Christ. The first aspect is salvation. He is our Savior, and He is. He's the only one that can take away our sin. And many, many a Christian have accepted Jesus Christ, and they are secure in Jesus Christ. But there's a second aspect that we all know well, is He is also Lord of all. You see, when He says that we have eternal life, that means that He is the Lord of the worlds to come, which is our hope. If we're hoping in the world to come, then we're hoping that Jesus Christ is the Lord that's going to rule and reign forever and ever and ever. However, Jesus says quite plainly, He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? See, there's obedience that needs to come from that faith. He said, faith without works, those kind of works, the obedience to the Word, are dead. That faith is no good. You have a faith in Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. That's good. But that's only half the story. There is this obedience that needs to come from it. When we read the Word, we have to respond in kind. And so we give earnest heed to those things. Now, we may read some things in there that, well, it doesn't really pertain to me right now. I really don't have a problem with envy. You know, I'm not really envious of anybody, or, you know, I'm not particularly plagued with lust at this particular time, or, you know, but maybe there's something in there that, you know, if we're looking at the Word of God and we start to go through the list of things, what's the first thing on the list? Anybody? First thing on the list. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Is anybody lacking in any of those areas? You see, you can't get past the first one without seeing that there might be a little deficit here. You know, I may acquiesce and say, you know, yeah, I love the Lord. And we may sing about it on Sunday morning and on Wednesday. And maybe even throughout the day, a praise song will come into our head. Oh, I love you, Lord. Man, and I just lift my hands up to you. But is it total? Or is it just a once in a while kind of things when things are going well? Oh, what a beautiful sunrise. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. Have anybody ever said, man, Lord, thank you for the storm that's about to hit us. That hurricane that's on its way, man. Oh, Lord, I can't wait to see your mighty power. I can't wait to see what things you're going to accomplish with this thing. No, I don't think anybody's ever said that. I've never heard anybody on a weather report say that. You know, Lord blew into town, man, and this tree that was over here, now it's on my house. Oh, praise God. Because I know the Lord is going to work through these things. And that's not a platitude. When you stop and think about it, if you believe, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes, then all things, and all means, work together for good. And that's walking by faith. And that's standing on the Word of God. That's not a platitude or some, you know, turning your blind eye or positive confession nonsense. It's standing on the Word of God. Something's happened that we think is bad, and man, the Lord turned it around for something that's good. It's given me an opportunity to talk with my neighbors that I never had before, perhaps. Perhaps I can tell them about Jesus Christ, and I can tell them about, hey, what's going on here? All things work together for good to those who are the called of the Lord. So if you're called of the Lord, any and everything that happens to you is ordained of the Lord for you to give glory to the Lord, giving earnest heed to those things that you know. Oh, man, I'm following after the Lord, and He did this thing, and now, I got nothing stopping me from moving to Hawaii. You know, just or whatever, you know, your places to be. But see, there's another aspect to this, taking earnest heed to the things which we have heard, because they may slip away. If we're not rehearsing them, if we're not praying them through, if we're not applying them to our lives, they will slip away. I can attest to this even in a secular means. You know, when I started out in computers, you know, I thought to dip my hand into a computer programming. You know, you get into a language and you start to work with this language. You get to know the language and you can write programs and things start to work with it. But, you know, then, okay, well, I'm not in that realm anymore. So now I'm over here in the dark side of management. And I forget all of those things that I learned in that language. And then somebody 10 years later says, hey, can you write in this language? And I can say, well, I used to be able to. But I don't know that I can anymore because they've slipped from my mind. I don't know them anymore. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. If you're not utilizing the Word of God in your own life, they're going to slip away from you to where you can't remember them anymore. I knew that there was this scripture that I can't remember what it is now. And then you just kind of like get this sinking feeling. And man, have I let these things slip? Have I let these things slip away where I can't? I'm not any good for the kingdom anymore. It's your heart's desire to do the Father's will. And all He wants you to do is to bear fruit. Bear fruit. That's all He wants you to do, is to bear that fruit. And what's the fruit? Love, joy, peace. That those things can only come if it's fertilized with the Word of God. Because you're implanting those things. You're putting those things in your mind. And the output of that is the fruit. And so he says in verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and the gift and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So let's back up. For the word spoken of angels, okay, this is referencing the commandments that came to Moses. And all of the prophets were spoken to of messengers. Don't confuse messengers and angels because they're the same thing. Now, it could be that Jesus Christ spoke personally. It could be that the Holy Spirit spoke, give them utterance, as the scriptures tell us. Or it could be that they were told by folks what it was to say. When we think about Daniel, Gabriel appeared unto Daniel and told him about the end times prophecies and this and that and the other. And so, you know, the word comes there and we know that it's true because it came to pass. We can see it. We can look at it. But see, if we're, you know, like, if we just say, well, you know, I don't have to worry about the law anymore. I don't have to worry about those, you know, all of those different testimonies and testaments. Because, hey, man, I'm under grace. And the Lord took all of those things. But you see, if we're doing those things, if we're practicing those things that the world is doing, what's the difference? Do you think we're being pleasing to the Lord if we do exactly as the world does? And we claim to be, well, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. But we're still doing the same things as the world is doing. Is this pleasing unto God? No, he's called us out of the world. He's called us, you know, I want you to be a testimony. I want your life to be a testimony. I don't want you to sit there and do the same things. There must be a difference. There must be a separation. He says, be ye separate, be ye holy. Come out from among the unclean things and be ye holy. So there has to be some kind of a, well, you know, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, so I want to do that which pleases God. And when you go in through the Word of God, you see what pleases God and what doesn't please God. He's very cut and dried about this. There's no real gray areas. It's black and white, what God loves and what God hates. And don't you want to be on the side of, man, this is what God loves. But, man, if you're doing or you're even contemplating doing or you're even affiliated with anything that God hates, man, you better check yourself. And you better check it right way, because it's, you know, it's not something you want to toy with. You'll be sucked into this area, and then, you know, people that say that there are gray areas, hey, that means that they're dabbling in things that they ought not to be doing. It's black and white, folks, or red and white, whichever you want to call it. But it's right there. It's in the Word, how it is and how it isn't, how it should be and how it shouldn't be. And if you've got a question about that, guess where you need to be. You need to be in there getting instruction. You need to clarify it. If there's that area that, well, I'm not really sure how the Lord feels about this. He has covered every aspect of life, in this Word. So if you see it in the Word, man, it's good. If you see it in the Word that is bad, stay away from it. It's pretty cut and dry, pretty simple. Give earnest heed to the Word. Not following after other people's example. Forget that. It's between you and the Lord. You know, you may hang out with a bunch of people that say, well, you know, it's okay. You know what? We need to get a ride downtown, so let's steal this car. Now you say, oh, that's kind of, yeah, I know you're not supposed to steal. But there are people that will justify it. Well, we got to get downtown. We got to get to that ministry meeting. You're giggling and you're laughing. Yeah, people do it. People do this. They justify it in their any means necessary. What about maybe the Lord doesn't want you there because you don't have transportation? Could be. But, you know, if we do things open and honest, nothing in the shadows, nothing underhanded, and that's conducting our business as well. You know, are we doing something to shave a little something for a friend so that we, I'll shave a few interest points off of this loan for you. Or you know, maybe I'll give you a stock tip that it's, you know, a little on the sly. You know, don't tell anybody, but, you know, if you buy this stock, it's going to go up. You know, underhanded, being honest and open in your business, you have to be. You have to be above board. For every word, every action that we have done is going to be examined by the Lord. We are going to sit at the bema seat of Christ, and we're going to be judged for those things that have been done in the body. to receive a reward. This isn't about salvation. It's about how the Holy Spirit was allowed to work in your life, regardless of the circumstances. The circumstances are irrelevant, okay? It is irrelevant. It doesn't matter if Tommy and Jimmy said that it was okay for us to do this because their pastor said it was okay to do. No. It's between you and the Lord. And the Lord put His Spirit in your heart to guide you, to lead you, to give you direction on where you should go and how you should do, how you should conduct yourself, how you should feel about things. The Holy Spirit does that. Because why? We're dead to ourselves. We're dead to our feelings. And if you're rolling on feelings, you know, well, that's something you need to take up with the Lord. Lord, give me good sense. Pray for good sense. Pray for, Lord, just take this ridiculousness, these feelings, because these feelings are really making me crazy. You know, and I know it's easy for guys to say, you know, girls are more, tend to, you know, go with their feelings. I mean, no disrespect. You know, I get this. But guys have feelings too, believe it or not. We may not show them as much as the ladies, but, you know, we're ruled by our feelings sometimes. You know, we do, oh man, I really don't want to, I don't want to hurt their feelings, so I'll just go along with it. Oh, well, you know, I'm not really stealing the cart. I'm just riding in it. So, you know, the sin's on them, not on me. And, you know, maybe I can share with the gospel how this is wrong as I'm sitting in the jail cell. The Lord is going to judge every work, every idle word, every action that we've done. And just to show us, hey, this could have been turned around for this. This could have been, you know, something for your glory. But, you know, wood, hay, and stubble. It's just going to burn up. But you'll be saved. I mean, it's about allowing the Spirit to work in our lives. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Again, this is a twofold application here. Two, one, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or your Savior, but you have to accept Him as well as your Lord. He has to be the Lord of your life. You have to give Him control of your life. You have died to yourself, and you're now living in Him. And He is showing you, this is the kingdom to come. You don't worry about this world here. It's the kingdom to come that you set your mind and your heart on. So conduct yourself accordingly. And all of the things that are written in the law have to do with this world. What not to do in this world. What to do in this world. Love your enemies. Pray for those that persecute. You can't do that unless you're living in another world. Because this world, man, I've got all of the feelings and the emotions and all of the desires of this world. And so anybody that does me wrong, man, I'm taking them out. I'm taking them out. Because this is my realm. This is where I'm building my kingdom. But if you're building your kingdom in the next world, this doesn't matter. This is like going camping. Man, we're here for a couple of weeks and then we're moving on. I'm not building a house here. I'm not building a kingdom here. We're just passing through. And you conduct yourself accordingly. You don't, you know, put your trash in other people's yards. You pick it up and you put it away yourself. You conduct yourself according to what your Father tells you to do. You live courteously. You give people, hey man, I want to hang out with these folks. Then they're good people. And you draw them in with love, not with hate. Unfortunately, people only know what Christians are against. They don't know what Christians are for. And that's what needs to change in us. You know, I don't want to sit there and be known that, oh, you're that anti-abortion guy, right? I saw you on the corner with the sign. God hates abortion. Well, sure, God hates abortion. But God loves those that are going through these things. God loves these people. He wants to turn their lives around. We need to be known as the people that love according to God's will. Now, understand that just because we love somebody doesn't mean that we accept their choices, how bad they may be. You know, there are consequences to the actions. We love the sinner but hate the sin. And there's no fellowship with darkness. If you know somebody that's going through and doing dark things, the things of darkness, then we have no fellowship with them. We can't have any fellowship. If you know somebody that steals for a living, you know, what are you going to talk about? Man, I was at church and I was just talking about this and that. And they ask, well, what time do you go to church? Sunday and Wednesday? Oh. So that's 11 to... Okay. And there's no reason. And they're talking about the things of the darkness, the things that they've done, the people that they've stolen from, and the great wealth. How can there be... How can you have interaction with folks like that? Or rapists? Or murderers? There's no fellowship there. There's no like-minded. There's nothing to talk about. They don't want to hear anything that you say, and you don't want to hear anything that they say. There's a natural separation because of lifestyles. That's why we gather together as Christians, so we can talk with people of like mind. There has to be some kind of a consequence. We love the sinner, but we hate the sin. And the sin separates them from God. Same as our sin separates us from God. Because we're doing those things that, what do we have? Well, Lord, I'm just, thank you so much that you brought this sap into my bank, because I was able to pick their pockets, I took their watch, and I was able to sell it for a good price. So now I can, you know, put a little extra in the offering bucket. What? No. There's no fellowship there. That's not how things are done. Everything's done open and honest before the Lord. I hope that's not the only thing you guys remember out of all this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Each and every one of us, that should be the thing that we work on the most. The great salvation that we have. Now, not to add to it, but to get in and understand it. Understand what the Lord has done. This is what the book of Hebrews is all about. And as we go through Hebrews, he's going to lay it out so simply and so completely that any question that you would have about salvation, why, the why twos, the hows, how fours, or anything, is all written in the book of Hebrews. And he uses Old Testament scriptures to make it happen. So anytime... And then this is going to be the homework assignment that I'm going to have as you go through, because they're not marked, at least not, you know, it may be in your Bible if you have a study Bible or something like that, and that's cheating. Stay away from that center margin. In fact, draw a line on there. Look up where he's talking about. He's given the scripture references. Find out where they are and how they're applied, and you begin to see how the Lord communicates with us. He uses the whole volume of the book to present to us Jesus Christ. Every aspect, Jesus would cry out and say, lo, the volume of the book is written of me. Go, search for yourself. Because you think you have salvation? They talk about me. So go, check it out. And make this an exercise, a spiritual exercise for yourself. When you see these things and he says in the word this, go look it up. Find out where it is. Read the paragraph before and the paragraph after. See how it fits. Don't just take things out of context. You know, he's not taking things out of context here, but he's using them as a reference so that you, as Jesus from the cross says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so what happens is they went back to Psalm 22 and they read the entire Psalm 22 because he's referencing this. And they could see there that, man, this looks like a first-hand look from somebody hanging on the cross describing what they're seeing. And yet it was written hundreds of years before the Lord was ever born. And that's got to send shivers up and down your spine when you read these things. And, wow, how could these things have transpired? Because God knows the end from the beginning. And he tells us the things that are going to happen before they do to authenticate himself to it. So let us not neglect these things. Let us give earnest heed to them. Now, is it first to be spoken by the Lord? And what are we talking about here? Genesis. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he spoke the worlds into existence. And he made the stars too. Yeah. Just an aside. Just thought I'd throw that in there. But it was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. You see, those that are of the same spirit hear these things, and they are then applied to our lives. And we see them applied to each and every one that is as claims to be in a believer. Man, I read this in there, and this is really a life changer for me. Because I've been doing all of these things, and the Lord just spoke to me and says, no, these are the things I want you to stop doing. These are the things that are an anti-witness, if I can use that term. This is bringing dishonor to my name. And so, man, what did I do? I started praying about it. I prayed that the Holy Spirit would take these things away from me. And when I say that, what I mean is take them out of my mind. Take them out of my heart. Because with the mind, it's going to go right to the heart. When you're talking about sin, you get the thought, it goes into your heart, and then it goes into action. If it never makes it here, if there's a buffer between here, man, if you're praying about, man, Lord, just help me not to steal. Just pray, Lord, just send your Holy Spirit and just take this desire away from me. You'll find that you won't have any thoughts to steal anymore. That the Lord is fulfilling His will. I'm taking those things out of your mind. Now, you can put those things into your mind if you so desire, but the Spirit will take those things out. And if they're out of your mind, guess what? They're going to get out of your heart. You won't have those desires to do those things anymore. Or you say, Lord, I just want to love my spouse. I want to love my husband. I don't want to love my wife. And you'll find that the Holy Spirit will accommodate you because this is the will of God for your life. Or, man, Lord, I just want to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And He will accommodate you. He will put those things in your mind to do so. He'll bring scriptures to your mind. Oh, Lord, I just thank you so much. And He's going to have fellowship with you. Why? Because praises are going to be coming out of your mouth. And where does God inhabit? He inhabits the praises of His people. So you want to get closer to God? Start praising Him. Just start praising Him for who He is and what He's done and this great salvation that He's given us and the ability to cease from sin and the obedience that He's given us, the power to stop sinning. Whereas the world don't have that. And that's why it's wrong for us to go and thump somebody on the head with our Bibles and say, stop stealing. Stop, 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 stop. Don't do that anymore. It's all they know how to do. It's like telling a dog, don't bark. Dogs bark. Don't stop eating that cat. Dogs eat. You can't stop their nature. Their nature is that to do. They can't help it if they sin. So stop judging them for their sin. It's not. They can't help themselves. The only reason you don't do it is because you have the Spirit of God. So pray that they get the Spirit of God. Pray that the Holy Spirit would convict them of their sins. And make sure that you're right there to give them the gospel when they are asking for it. Anyone says, it's a kind of a tough, well, you know, we're not supposed to have any fellowship with them, but man, I tell you what, got some folks in your neighborhood irritating you? Huh? Playing their music a little loud? I got some. What are we supposed to do? Oh, Lord, just move them to somewhere else. Put them in somebody else's neighborhood. Bring me some old people that are quiet. Right? No, we start praying for them. Lord, start convicting them of sin. Pray that they would respond to the gospel. That they would not neglect so great a salvation. And then be there. Be there for them. Give them the gospel when they ask for the hope that lies within you. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. See, all of the things that Jesus did, He did by the Holy Spirit. All of the things that He did, all of the miracles that He did, all of the things that He spoke of were all given to Him by the Holy Spirit. And He was confident that the Holy Spirit was going to give Him those things because He was in touch with the Father. He was constantly praying. He was going off into the evening and praying all night so that He would do His will. Lord, I just want to do Your will. That's what I want to do. And the Holy Spirit was right there with signs and wonders and miracles to authenticate, yes, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Even the Father says, hear ye Him. He sits now on the right hand of the Father. waiting for the Father to put his enemies under his feet. Who's putting the enemies under his feet? Is it the church? Is it the militant Christians that are going out there? The Lambos? Oh, we're going to get those, we're going to take over this world. And we're going to present it to Jesus Christ. There's nowhere in Scripture that says that. It says that the Father is going to put all of the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ under his feet. And if the Father is going to do it, he is well capable of being able to do it. He says, hold your peace. I like, you know, the TJV, you know, during the Mount of Transfiguration when, you know, Peter goes up and says, hey, it's good for us to be here. Let's build a couple of houses here and for you, Moses and Elijah. And just shut up. You know, just cease from talking. Hear ye him. Okay. What's he got to say here? Where does he say it? Right here in his word. So we need to give earnest heed to these things, lest we let them slip. Heavenly Father, thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that teaches us, that convicts us, that guides us. Lord, I pray that we would give the Holy Spirit free rein in our lives to accomplish those things that you would have for us, to produce fruit in our lives that you can enjoy. So Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please stand.